Welcome to the Tech Flash. If you're looking to increase your ed tech knowledge that's quick and easy to listen to, you have come to the right place. Let's join our host, Josh, and see what today's episode is all about.
Hello and welcome to the Tech Flush. I'm excited. I know you're excited to be back listening. I hope you checked out day one of our travel days and, you know, listening to us in the terminal of the Dallas airport. I know that was exciting for you to hear our journey there. But today, coming in at number 68, it's incredible. Number 68. And I thank you all for tuning in. So I know you probably are hearing things. I don't know. We'll see what the editing sounds like later in life, but we are actually recording in the lobby of the Marriott in San Antonio. And so as we get started, we've got a first-time guest on the show. I'm excited for him to be here. So I'm going to introduce you to Mr. Dr. Jeremy Jones. So, Dr. Jones, kind of tell us about yourself and how you kind of first and foremost fit into this educational space.
Well, Josh, you know, and it's just Jeremy. You don't have to call me doctor. I have the privilege of being here with a lot of different people. And as I look around in this circle, different ways in my educational career at Bradley County Schools, which is now 20 years into the making, and a lot of people that I've got to work with in different avenues. You being first, going back to Ocoee Middle School, probably most of you don't know this, but Josh and I used to co-teach a class there, eighth graders. Fun times, right?
That was a lot of fun. That's when I first started teaching. And we really had a great group of kids, but being like that newbie teacher, working alongside you and just helping kind of shape me in certain things today that I still do. It was just an awesome, 2 years you were there, but it was just an incredible time.
Yep, 2 years that we got to co-teach together and form what I feel like is a friendship and then also a professional atmosphere, but lots of good times. And then took off to Walker Valley, got to be there for 5 years and then transitioned into administration and go out to Valley View. And then had the privilege to be with my buddy Colby as a tech coach, innovation specialist there out at Valley View. And now I find myself back at Walker Valley. So excited to be there and kind of getting back to the home of the Mustangs.
That's exciting. You've been well-rounded in a lot of different things. So now I know we're transitioning now to TCA, the conference. I know you had a better journey on your flights than we did, even though you had
I did have a better journey. Yes, that's correct.
So as you had this first day here on this Sunday, what were some your big takeaways? Did you have a favorite session? What was something you really enjoyed that you'd like to share?
Probably the one that I feel like impacted me the most was the keynote speaker talking about AI. And specifically, I think in the educational community, we're going to have to address that students, and more specifically to where I'm at now, teenagers have AI companions. And initially that might sound weird or kind of concerning, but it is where we're going and it's a reality. And I think it can be very beneficial. But how do we socially educate our students, and then even as Colby mentioned a little bit later after that, our parents, on how this dynamic plays into this new nature of technology being incorporated with our teenagers' lives and in their education. So it was a good, you know, reflective thing to kind of ponder. And from an educator's point of view, we want to equip them. We want them to use them. I think there's a lot of great benefits, even in the way that students who might be isolated or at times not have social connections, how it can kind of supply some of that, but we still got to teach them the balance and still trying to grow them emotionally and how they socially interact with other students. So that one really kind of stuck with me and kind of has the wheels turning on how we kind of move forward in the world of education, specifically at high schools.
And especially those front-facing chatbots or spaces or whatever you want to call them, it's going to open up a lot of doors for what we're going to do with our students. But again, it goes back to that digital citizenship, that common sense media, like really educating them to make sure that they are doing what they need to, because we really need them to understand those things. It's just kind of like having phones in schools. You know, we can ban them or whatever, but at the same time, we've got to make sure they know how to use them appropriately and making sure that we understand when to put it up and when not to have them out. or just how to use them, like the internet and all those things. So it's really important for those things.
It's all part of it. Technology keeps progressing, and ultimately, I think it's a good thing. We just got to be in the conversations and guiding and trying to find ways to support our students with it. But it's fun to be here.
Oh, and listen, did you enjoy our after-dinner treat?
Our after-dinner treat was amazing. Voodoo Donuts, did we mention names? A lot of wonderful treats out there. Pam educated me and helped me understand of the different pastries that are there. And so I got the maple bar. Thank you so much, Pam, for recommending that. I appreciate it.
And I really hate they didn't have the maple bacon one. That one is incredible. I hope tomorrow when we go, because you know the goal every day is to go every day. So I'm super excited about that. Hopefully you can try that one. All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Jones. But we're going to transition to Shelly. And so, Shelly, what was your big takeaway?
My favorite part about today was the STEM and STEAM emphasis that I've seen to be more popular this time than in the past. So I took away some very helpful pieces of different things that we can add to Bradley County Schools. And it also spurred some more thoughts about how we can incorporate and make STEM easier for our teachers to incorporate in what they're already doing. So basically, we found some like templates and things that teachers can use and then tie in their SRSD and tie in their Open Court. And that way they don't feel like they're doing anything extra when they try to add STEAM or STEM into their lesson plans.
Yeah, and there was a ton of like sessions that were more hands-on, more mm-hmm. STEAM related. Like I wanted to go to a session on Lego robotics, but by the time I found my way there in the conference center, it was already packed out and there was no seats left.
Yeah, I was going to go to the Lego ones too, but also one of the favorite parts is always Leslie Fisher. So I got to go to her Brisk one and all the new features that Brisk is adding, which is just phenomenal. It's one of the great platforms to use for teachers and easy because it's right there attached into their Chrome. So they don't even have to go looking for it. It just automatically attaches it. And then she added basically discussed some of the new features that haven't been released yet that she's finding out about, which was just perking my interest to see when that comes available for all of our teachers because they will be excited for the new features.
Yeah, I think it always is fun to come to these conferences and get to see like firsthand, like, oh, this is coming out tomorrow or this just released this week. And you almost feel like you're VIP and you're getting it before everybody else does. And it just really hypes it up a lot.
It's also nice just seeing other educators and asking questions about what you're going through or what you're doing at your own schools and see their take on things. Because sometimes it's just nice seeing what other countries, other states, and other places are doing using ed tech. It's just fascinating.
Yeah. And it's always that, you know, we do great things with in our team, but it's also fun to hear what's happening outside of our district, outside of our county, our state, and even into other places.
What also makes it nice is realizing how much we have done and how far we have come and how much we are in some things further along than what some other places are.
I totally agree with that. All right. Well, Shelly, thanks for that. Our next guest today, and I kind of like this. We're sitting around here at the table, and they just really don't know who I'm going to pick. Some of them don't care. Some of them do. But we're going to go with Colby Burris. And remember, you can always follow him. He's got tons of new followers at Xless C Burris. That's on Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. He is really getting up there.
What can I say? I just love social media.
Well said. So I know Colby. We set in a session today on Tinkercad 3D designing, which was incredible. I know we even joked before the session that I was going to hang out for a little bit because there was another session I wanted to go to. But then an hour and a half later, I never got up. So that was really incredible to do those things. But what are some other highlights that you had going in today? Was there a session you liked? Was there a certain speaker or a ed tech person that you really wanted to see? What was something today that you really enjoyed?
Well, I enjoyed all the sessions I went to. Went to a session on planning STEM events for schools, districts, and great insights into things considered partnerships, collaborations, both within the district and then within the community. So really enjoyed that session. Also went to an esports session that I also found insightful. That's something we're trying to get built up in our school district. So definitely got some new ideas as we're looking forward to our first league championship coming up in really almost less than a right at a month here. So excited about some of those opportunities that we are trying to offer to our students in the district. And then I'll just tell you the highlight of the day, honestly, was that Tinkercad session. You know, that's something, you know, we've talked about here recently is the opportunities that come from 3D printing. And I think for somebody that's never had one or had the experience of what you can do with a 3D printer, it may seem like, well, what's so special about it? You have this machine and you hit print on it. And there are so many opportunities out there for students. And so looking forward to this session today, I typically will never do anything other than an hour long session because that's just tough to sit there for any length of time over an hour and stay connected, especially when you're at a convention like this, where at any given time, there's what, 20 other things going on.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to pick.
Yeah. And so when you slice out one third of your day, or almost half of your day for one session, it feels a little bit like, what am I missing out on for this one thing? Well, I went in thinking I would stay the whole time, and I just absolutely enjoyed being there the entire time. All the different hands-on activities we got to participate in gave lots of ideas that I can take back to some of our STEM lab teachers and hopefully motivate them to offer some of these opportunities for students, because there's just so much hands-on authentic learning that can come from 3D printed activities. And it's not so much the 3D printing, it's the 3D modeling is what it's about, and making those connections between, you know, mathematics, measurements, functionality of a device. How does that all interplay to make whatever this is you're 3D printing? Like today we worked on a couple of different projects. We made fidgets. We made word art. I liked whenever they were showing some of the projects they did during COVID. Like they were developing the I don't know what to call them, but the mechanism that whenever people were wearing masks, it would keep the elastic band off their ears, and how their elementary students had 3D modeled these, and then they were giving them out to the community, give them to nurses, first responders, to teachers that they could use, so that simple problem of, you know, ears getting irritated by those elastic bands, and elementary kids were the ones to problem solve and find that solution out, which I just think is so fascinating. We saw some other designs of students, like the one student had made the door opener where you didn't actually have to touch the door handle and possibly get any germs off the door handle. So just giving students authentic problems to work through and then bring to life through 3D printing. I just think it's such an incredible medium in which to engage students with super authentic learning.
No, I totally agree. And I feel like we've had conversations, like I feel like 3D printing is awesome. There's lots of opportunities for that. But again, I think to a point, like other than going to the bamboo studio, finding a print, oh, look what I did, it does this. But I really thought it was just, it was hard. Like, and how do you get a kid to do that? It's just going to take a lot. But even today, like the things that we did were hard, but they weren't that hard, I think, to a point that I don't think a fourth grader, a third grader could do those. And I think by someone guiding me as a teacher, educator through that process, it really got my mind working to seeing how it really can work with students at any age. Now, you're working through different tasks or different ideas of things. But I mean, like we did that name tag. That was really easy to do. They type your name, you import it, and you're done. So I think just certain things, just finding a way for them to, of course, not just have fun with it, but you're tying in all these other components of course, the engineering design process for that.
Yeah. We've had this discussion before, but for large parts, teachers teach the way they were taught, right? And so, especially with something as modern, new, different that 3D printing is, a large number of teachers don't understand how that could be something engaging for them to offer as part of their classroom. I'm an ELA teacher. How does 3D printing going to work for me? You know, I'm a social studies teacher. How does this apply to me? And I think that's something that in our role, if we can expose teachers to so that they can see the opportunities that are there, that's something I would like to maybe challenge our district to do more of, is to provide training on 3D printing to show how it can make all sorts of super fascinating, interesting, engaging additions to already great curriculum that's out there. But just once again, it all comes back down to opportunities that we can give to students.
Yeah, I think that's totally true. Opportunities are key. And I feel like, especially now, tying an activity, no matter what it is, and understanding that can be related throughout all the contents. And I think especially our job is to try to help see that and help teachers understand that we can work with other subjects. We can do certain things. We can work with 3D printing to make something through an idea, and then our students problem solve, let them communicate, let them tie in something else that they know that will strengthen them.
Yeah. And I think more and more teachers are waking up to the possibilities of 3D printing. At least I'm starting to see it in the schools, where the technology has gotten affordable enough. It's gotten widespread enough. It's gotten efficient enough as far as the quality of the prints that it can produce in a much less time than just even 5 years ago. This new generation of 3D printing is really opening some eyes, I'm starting to see. And I think we're starting to have teachers that are like, you know what, this is kind of cool. You were able to make me this fossil of this particular dinosaur that I'm studying in science class. That's something that's occurred recently. Or you've been able to create a couple of 3D models of some sea creatures for our habitats lesson. So I think as teachers kind of warm up to this idea, you know what, this is kind of cool, I think there's going to be more acceptance of from teachers, like, okay, tell me more, like, how do you do this? And maybe getting them into some of these basic 3D printing tasks, or really 3D modeling. When we say 3D printing, I really want to start talking more about 3D modeling, is how can students, how can teachers be the creator of that model? And a 3D printer is not just something you go to and, hey, I downloaded this keychain from online and I like it. You know, that's great that you've done that with 3D printing, but what can you make through 3D modeling? And I think that's where the true power of 3D printing is.
Yeah, I think you've said a lot of great things. I feel like it's not just about the end result. It's really about the process to get us there. And that doesn't just apply to the 3D modeling or the 3D printing. I think that's with any tool that we pick, any idea, anything that we're putting out in the classroom with our students, or even us as educators in a group talking. It's about the process and getting there, not just a quick and easy fix to do that. So I think AI has been around for a long time. I think like 3D printing has been around for a long time. I think so many things have been around. I think it's going to come back to this process and how we're going to get someplace. I think it's just, again, full circle moment.
I agree. And I love that. I've heard you say that several times in other podcasts, is you're exactly right about the idea of process, because that's, sometimes we're too goal oriented and that we really don't put as much weight on the process as maybe we do mentally about how things occur, how things develop. And that's exactly true in 3D printing. It's about that process, not the product.
Yeah. And I think even, you know, with that, before we get ready to transition to our next guest, because I know me and you could talk for a while, but it's really, I think sometimes, like, you know, with the process again, sometimes when things don't work well, or it doesn't work the way we want them to, we just kind of quit. And I think even like with me for 3D printing, I didn't push it beyond that because it just seemed too hard. Like, how am I going to make this box go up and down on my screen? And then today the lady's like, hey, click the black cone and it moves. And I'm like, well, that's silly. Like, I should have figured that out beforehand. And once you see those things, now the process can continue instead of just quitting when that black cone's not there and you can't move it. So I think it's just, it's going to be continuing just to grow.
Yeah, I agree.
Awesome. Well, cool. Listen, we're going to transition to Miss Pam Coleman. Pam had a great day, great sessions. I know a lot of us come to support her. Just an incredible day learning about Google Sites, building internet pages for our staff, to build just a lot of different things. So you can talk about that, Pam, for a minute if you would like. And then also kind of tell us what your big highlight of the day was.
What a great day is what I would say. First time to present at a national conference and felt very prepared and ready to share the things that I've learned from working with staff at the district level. So was able to share about how a Google site can be used as a departmental site. You change all the settings and sharing opportunities and you close that site up, and it just it's protecting any information that you have in there, and whoever is the admin of the account is able to work with the staff and determine who gets what, and that's all in the sharing and the permissions. And so I just feel like it's been something that I've worked on for open sites. We've made school-based sites, technology links and those types of things, parent resources. But doing the departmental sites has really been something that I find takes a lot of the heavy burden off of the administration for always having to communicate over and over again where to find the data, where to find the resources, how to find where they report. And so it just works out very well, both for the administration and for the individuals who are privileged to have access to the site. And I think that the session went really well.
Yeah, I think you did a phenomenal job. Now, listen, when we walked into your session, I saw that they had that elevated desk, and I have to present Tuesday. And I was like, oh my gosh, I hope I don't have to present in a room like that and have to stand up tall. I think that's going to terrify me when I have to present. But I think when you did get up there and you had to go up there, you did a great job and kept it together. I think I would have lost a little bit. That was a little nerve-wracking.
I was nervous when I saw that room. That room looked pretty daunting. That was a really big one. And the people started coming in, and I was thinking, they're here to hear this. And I'm a little scared.
Miss Coleman. There's no backing down now.
No, it was fun. And my whole first, table at the very front was all the staff from Bradley County Schools. So it was pretty awesome to feel the support, feel the love, and to have the support. So
yeah, it was really awesome to see you in your element and present. But what was, besides presenting, I know that was a big highlight. What is something that you really gained from today in our conference, whether at the vendor hall, in a session that you went to? What was your big takeaway?
Well, today when I was able to go through the vendor hall, it's really a privilege to work with these companies that, provide all the resources that we are, we want to buy so many things. But, there's many things that we get freemium, we call it, versions of things. And we can't buy the pro versions. But the quality of products that we are privileged to know about and to take back to our teachers. And then I think for us, building those relationships, even with those vendors, I find that, I know you have many of those relationships yourself, and it's great to see them, year after year, make those connections, and just their willingness to support us in our role. I think that's really a positive thing I always take away.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's always fun because, we do connect with all these other companies, individuals, people on social media we've got connected with somehow. And it's always fun to come to these things and reconnect with them, or these people that you've always Zoomed with. And now you get to meet them in real life and have a real conversation. I think that's just something special that we don't always get to have. And so I totally get that, getting to have those connections.
And one last plug for LEGO Education. I was able to play with the new computer science and AI kit. And I'm telling you, it is fire. We're always concerned when we work with children that we want them to, of course, learn the standards. And we are teaching them a lot of content. A lot of times, though, when they're working with these tools that we provide with STEM, some of the barriers fall away. And I see that collaboration piece come in. And this kit that they have put together, it goes ahead and front loads that for us. And they've got this manual, and they divvy up the project. And, you know, one student takes one color and another, they're little figures like the Lego and, you know, little characters. And they just, so everybody has a job and they've already done that for you. And so then they end up building any number of projects. And I just found it to be so amazing. And what they've integrated with the AI component too, because then they then are able to block code and, you know, actually give the motor, you know, has functionality. It was really remarkable.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many things that are out there that sometimes we just are like, I don't know if we can really do that. But once we sit these kids down, they have resilience. They want to learn. They want to see something happen, whether it's 3D modeling and printing, whether it's connecting a Legos together and putting a motor to it and making it happen. They really do want to push through boundaries and continue to grow. But sometimes we've just got to sit back and let them do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a struggle a lot of times for educators, that we want to control the narrative instead of just spending an hour. Hey, go play for an hour and let's see if you can make this happen.
Yeah. It was a great day at TCEA. I'm blessed to be here.
Awesome. Now, listen, we're going back to the fan favorite. After last night's show, I cannot tell you how many people commented for the Scott Webb to be back on.
Josh,
Scott,
first of all, it's a pleasure to be on your program again tonight. You know, I don't know how we can top the electricity that was flowing out of the mic last night from Terminal E10 at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport last night. But we're going to do our best. You know, we're excited to be here at TCA again this year. And, you know, excited to be back on the program two nights in a row. Hopefully, you know, we can make this a regular occurrence as we move through the week and, you know, give you some tips, some trips, some feedback, some highlights, if you will, from the course of the last couple of days. But again, I say all that to say thanks for having me on your program.
It really is an honor, Scott, to have you on the show. And, you know, I don't think we've ever had this conversation. And I know that some of it's on me. I don't have you on the show enough. But the other day I was looking through all my analytics and just kind of seeing what the listeners are liking, what they're not liking. But honestly, number one show was when I had you on there and we talked about the innovative educator program that we built.
Yeah.
And people really enjoyed, not maybe just the content, the episode, but I think just especially having you on the show.
I think there's no doubt just having me on the program is what boosted ratings. I mean, I think that goes without saying. But just listen, you know, this world that we live in here and the educational technology field, you know, it's still about people. You know, it's still about people, still about teaching and learning and all those things. And, you know, anytime we can grow those people, you know, we're here at a conference willing and eager to learn what's happening across and using technology, not as an instrument, but a tool to how we're enhancing what's happening in our schools and our districts and our buildings and our classrooms. So, you know, it all comes back to people. So it makes sense that one of your higher rated episodes was about people, because that was what this program, that was why we started the Innovative Educators. That's one of the things we had a conversation about on that episode. You know, one of the things we were doing when we hired our last set of tech coaches, innovation specialists. We hired Betsy and we hired Jason, was we weren't doing a good enough job ourselves of growing our own. And we wanted to take that platform and try to encourage them to do some things. Last year, we took them to a Tennessee conference and spent a few days with them in Chattanooga, you know, doing some conference type things. Right now, we have a series of innovative educators that are testing Chromebooks for teacher use Chromebooks for something that we're looking to transition to do in a couple of years, trying to get some feedback. What things do they don't like? What things do they do like in a device? So this business is and always will be about people.
And I can remember the first staff meeting. I mean, I was still working in the middle school. I got invited to a staff meeting. Was already hired on. That was the first conversation I can remember having as a group. It's about people. It's about almost like customer service.
That's what I tell everybody all the time. I said, this, our job, whether it's on the IT side of stuff or on the instructional side of stuff or customer service, we're here to help our clients. Our clients may be teachers. It may be students. It may be administrators like Dr. Jones over here, AKA Jeremy. So it's important that we have to keep that focus in mind. What we're trying to do is we're trying to make their life easier. We're trying to make sure that they're able to educate their students to the best of their ability. And sometimes that calls on us to be supportive in those endeavors. And as long as we keep that, that doesn't mean we're not learning, we're not growing ourselves, but as long as we keep that mindset of we're here to serve in any of these roles, and Dr. Jones's role as principal, and your role as an innovation specialist, my role as a technology director. As long as we keep embedded in that, we're here to serve and keep that kind of customer service approach where we want to make sure that the customer is taken care of, then all the things we want to achieve will happen.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And transitioning to the conference today, I know you went to a lot of sessions that you've talked about on coaching. So was that kind of a highlight for you today? And like,
yeah, when I looked at the schedule today, you know, and me and Jeremy talked about this when we were out walking around on the Riverwalk tonight, you know, and when we were at lunch or at dinner, and when we stopped and got some delicious donuts at Voodoo Donuts, which there'll be a full episode recap on Voodoo coming up on Thursday night, on the flight back. So we'll get all that taken care of. When you come to a conference like this, it's an educational technology conference. What I try to tell people, try to remind people, technology is just a tool. Obviously, it's the focus of this, but it's how we use these tools to improve what we're doing in our buildings, with our teachers, with our staff. We're trying to find areas. So one of the things I think, and I've mentioned this in the past to our department, is one area I would still like to see us continue to grow is in that coaching mechanism. That's why I say it's always important that the most important thing you guys do is when you get an opportunity to work with teachers, I want you doing that. If that means not coming to a meeting of mine or dropping something else, I don't care about any of that. When we get an opportunity to coach and work with people, those are precious moments, and we want to make sure that our focus always stays there. So one of the things I see as a department I want us to continue to grow in is in that reality. So if I can hear what some other school systems are doing, whether they're doing Potty PD, like what was the birth of this podcast, or if it's sending out a weekly or a monthly email with tips or something that is quick hitting and something that continues to evolve. And when I see other people doing it, and we've done that to a degree, and I want to see it continue to grow with us. But I understand we're heading in a good place. You know, we talked about this earlier. When I first took over this job almost 9 years ago, to compare to where we are right now as a school system is night and day. We are nowhere near, we were so far behind when I took over this job, where we were from a technology, how much it was being incorporated. Now, obviously, COVID played a big role in pushing us forward, but it's because we made a decision as a district and as a department that we were going to continue to drive forward. We were going to get our students caught up because that's the most important thing we do. We want to give our students every advantage that they have. And it was important for us to make those strides. And we have made big strides, but we still got a long ways to go and still got things to do. And conferences like these help keep you aware. What I don't want to happen is I don't want us to fall behind. So I want us involved in things like this so that we can see, like as we talked about as a group, last conference we came to as a group together a couple of years ago, AI was on the cusp of really hitting everything. And to see that wave happening helped better prepare us for what was going to be transitioning and happening in the next 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 weeks after we left that conference. So it gives us the ability to see what's coming and be better prepared for it. And it also is I love walking around this conference now saying, we're doing that. We've done that. We're already way better at that than this school district. That warms my heart because that lets me know we have done our job and we have caught our people up. Now that we're here at this point, it's important that we continue to still drive forward and still continue to give our students opportunities that they've never had before.
You know, we've even had conversations of just where we've came from, or even I think sometimes like I was talking to my wife the other day and it's like, I'm excited to come here and just continuing to learn and continuing to find new processes. We may know lots of things. And I think for me and coming into this conference is just figuring out what process works for me, what works for my coaching, what works for us as a department, what we're doing good, what we need to improve on. Because tools are tools. But I think the process and how we deliver it, I think the process and how we work with our teachers, and just in the process of how we do things, I think needs to continue to evolve. Especially, you know, today I was in a session with Dr. Alfonso Mendoza of the EdTech Life, and that's what he talked about. We can have all these fancy tools, but again, it goes back to teacher eyes. It goes back to our processes and making sure that it's fitting our needs. And I think we've continued to do a great job as a department, as a team, to pushing those out and sharing that with our teachers, especially when we come back from a conference like this.
Right. I don't ever want us to get in a situation where we feel like we are not giving our students the most opportunities out there. And that means building our people up. That means working with, you know, as Ron Clark used to say, those that, there's runners, there's those joggers, and then there's those people you got to pull from the bus. But we got to be able to work with all of them. And that doesn't mean we spend all our time on one end of that. And if somebody's really struggling, we can't beat them over the head with it and ignore the people that are out there running the race for us too. So we got to be able to supply and help and find ways to do that. And sometimes, especially in your role, because you have to, in my role, it's different. You know, I'm working with principals. Those people, you know, for the most part, are pretty high, accelerated, very motivated. They know they have a vision for what they want to do. I make fun of them sometimes because they don't answer emails very well. But for the most part, they're wonderful people. But they're all a little different. So you got to understand how to work with that. And the same thing is true with you guys. You guys are working with teachers that have a variety of skills and desires to want to work with technology. But I think a lot of times, if you can find those people and show them little things and get them involved in just little ways of trying, because again, it's not about the technology. It's about trying to give them opportunities to, maybe it's to save 10 minutes. Maybe it's to have AI help write them some summary questions when they don't have, it's little things. It's trying to help increase their scope, how they approach what they're doing on a daily basis. So it's, you know, a conference like this it's when you have a bunch of like-minded people together, you get to see ways, different ways that they handle situations. And that's a great experience for you guys. And you know, I am super happy that we have teachers here from Bradley. We got a teacher here from Walker Valley, principals here, start to experience these types of conferences and realize that it's not about the tools and the equipment and all that. It's just about having resources available and opportunities to grow teachers, students, staff, everybody. I'm about talked out. Can we talk a little donuts for a minute?
Yeah. So like the very well said, Scott.
I think I rambled the last 5 minutes.
You do, but I feel like sometimes when we podcast, we do ramble. We have good ideas. And then after we say it, yeah, maybe a ramble a little bit, but I think it was all really good conversation. So listen, we're going to start slowly wrapping this up because I know this is we're going on a whirlwind of a tour tonight. But when we talk about donuts, I know that's been our highlight.
Josh, we've talked about those for a week. It's one of those things. This is, you know, harks back to, what was it, 2023? Our first opportunity to go together as a, was it 23? 24. 2024, Austin, Texas, TCA. You know, we're, as a group, we're working the capital of Texas. We're, you know, hitting all the restaurants, seeing all the sites. The first time I'd ever visited one was in, I think there's a Voodoo Donuts in City Walk and Universal. It's the first time I'd ever seen one. We went and had one night while we were there, had a pretty awesome experience at Voodoo Donuts there in Austin. And it's just become a thing where I think we may have went 4 times that week we were in Austin with multiple numbers of donuts consumed. Unfortunately, you know, there's a Voodoo Donuts here in Austin. So, you know, we have our priority set correctly. You know, we were in town literally 22 minutes last night and immediately made the 15-minute walk in less than 30-degree weather to go get a donuts. And it did not disappoint. And now we've got other people on board with that. Got the Walker Valley contingent that was here last night, went and partook in a little Voodoo this evening. So, you know, they're doing conferencing correctly.
Yeah.
And that's very important.
And I even think tomorrow when we go back to Voodoo Donuts, because that's going to happen.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I feel like we're going to have a bigger following. We've increased our numbers, and especially after you get a donut and you walk to the Alamo. I mean, you're really getting history and a donut at the same time.
Who doesn't think when you say the word Alamo, Voodoo Donuts? I mean, at this point, you're never going to be able to say one without the other.
Experiences again.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, it's just amazing.
So, very excited. You know, we went maple bacon last night. A little disappointing that they were not. That's just, to me, that's just an opportunity to go back again because you're going to have to get another maple bacon before you leave. Today I went maple cream, a little tangent off of what I went with yesterday. Excellent donut, you know, good cream in the filling, not quite the maple bacon. I like this full strip of bacon on it, but, you know, solid. So, you know, we're excited to see what kind of decisions I have to be made tomorrow evening, you know, where we're going to turn. Are we going to venture out, try something? I know I'll give you an opportunity to talk about your experience tonight, but I don't know. I'm excited about where this could lead this week.
You know, always, I think walking in there is such a hard decision because you've got that turn style, right? What would you call it?
Right. I think that's an excellent way.
And it just kind of rotates around, and there's so many good donuts in there. And so tonight I picked one. It was like just a regular donut. It had a little Oreos on top. I mean, I think it was peanut butter on it. Just amazing donut.
You got to give the name, though.
ODB. We're going to go with that one. You can look it up, the website. I don't know if we want to get into that on the.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about our ed tech stuff, and now we've kind of pushed way out there to the donut world. I think this is going to be
the first time we're recording this podcast while waiting on the Walmart delivery service to come through. So I think thanks to Pam Coleman. So a great first full day. You know, after the dreary travel. You know, you can go back and listen to episode 6-7 if you missed that. So excited to see what day two holds. Spend some time talking to Leslie Fisher, big ig tech guru. Got her picture with us, picture with her today. And she always has some great stuff. LeslieFisher.com. If you want any information on that. So exciting day. We got Pam and Jason talking tomorrow about the STEM Hub and the great things that are happening with the STEM Hub tomorrow morning, noon tomorrow. So that'd be pretty exciting. And then we get, you got Tuesday, Wednesday.
So my day's coming. I'm excited about that. Excited to be in a room full of people.
Going to have a little get together tomorrow with the people at Wave Ground.
Brist. They're putting a little after hours thing. So that's going to be exciting to kind of mingle.
Yeah, go in there and they got, you know, those are two awesome platforms. If you haven't had an opportunity to test those out, just Google them, put in a ticket for tech coach visit. Those are two pretty outstanding products. The Brist extension is always in my way, but it's always up and running. But two great tips and tools there. So fascinating, fun week here in San Antonio. It's going to be for all those back in the cold and in the Southeast Tennessee area. It's going to be about 73 degrees here tomorrow. So pretty excited about that.
All right. Well, listen, I hope you've enjoyed this episode, Scott. I thank you for being on the show again.
Hey, listen, it's always exciting to be on your program. Just means a lot to me when I get invited. It didn't happen very often, but, you know, he's talking to CEOs and people all the time, but his boss doesn't get asked very much, but it's a pleasure to be on your program. Hopefully things work out well and, you know, Lord willing, I'll be able to be on the program again later this week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to 3 days in a row. I know we've had a great, great first day here. Great conference, great conversations. Just really getting to hang out as a team has always been a blessing because we just don't really always get to see each other that often other than email and text sometimes. So that's always fun to hang out. I've really enjoyed this conversation tonight. I'm glad everybody was to be able to be around the table and just talk and just share those thoughts and feelings. I think it was awesome. We had a first-time guest on the show, Dr. Jeremy Jones, and it's just incredible things. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this recording. I hope you look forward to TCA Day number 3, which we'll get that rocking and rolling on Monday, February 2nd. But today was the 2nd. February 3rd. What's today?
I don't have any idea what day it is.
Today's the 1st. I was right. On February 2nd. So I hope you're looking forward to that. I'm sure we'll bring you some great things, some great tips and tricks. We'll have to make sure we get the Tech Flush sound effect in there for you this week. But until next time, I hope you all enjoyed episode number 68, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Tech Flush podcast. Stay tech savvy, keep those gadgets charged, and remember, teachers and technology go hand in hand, connecting students to a world of knowledge for an electrifying learning experience. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and spread the word about the Tech Flush to your friends. Catch all episodes on Apple Podcasts. See you next time on the Tech Flush.